You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
You're listening to the smooth night sounds of the Liberty Cats. You Hep Cats and Swing Kittens, pull up your beanbag, put on your beret, grab that electric pipe, put on that smoking jacket, and put your cat in your lap, because it's time for your daily injection of furry love. Now here's the granddaddies of hip and everything cool, Brian Hagen and Taryn P. Lupo.
And it is your Thursday edition of the Liberty Cats here on Daily Paul Radio. So good to be back. Don't call it a comeback. We've been here for weeks.
For years. Weeks, that's right.
And that's probably
we put out hundreds of shows and during that time period.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look back at yesterday's edition. Things got really wacky. If you remember, we were talking about a haunted dresser that's up for sale on Craigslist, and it apparently blocks women from allowing you to finish your duty. So we emailed the seller of the haunted dresser. So far, we have not yet received a reply. We sent the email in all caps. Hopefully, he will get back because this is something I truly need in my room. Good to be back once again. My name is Brian Hagen, one half of your Liberty Cats. The other half is named...
The tail end here, Taryn P. Lupo.
That's right. And we're cereal friends.
Cereal.
We're cereal friends about this show. We do it each and every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I don't know why I'm talking like Al Gore.
I don't know, but, you know, it kind of reminds me because Al kind of had a weird haircut. And I just saw this article in the news about Korean haircuts. Oh. I think we should talk about it.
Oh, yes. I saw this same article. North Korean, and it's in Time magazine, so it must be true. North Korean university students are now reportedly required to get the same haircut as Kim Jong-un.
And for you guys that have never seen his hair, it kind of looks sort of like an 80s skater. It's shaved completely on the sides, but it's long on top and long, kind of spiky. So it looks kind of like a failed attempt from a Billy Idol, like a Billy Idol album.
Well, it's kind of like half a mop is on his head and didn't come down far enough. And so then they just shaved the rest of the hair underneath the mop that they stuck on his head.
Yeah. And apparently in North Korea, you're not allowed to have any hairstyles that aren't state approved. So when you go to the barber shop, the women can only pick from four or five styles, approved styles. And the men, the college kids have to cut their hair just like their glorious leader. But the men, I still think, are allowed to choose between two or three styles. There's the Mo, right?
Yeah.
The guy, there's from the Three Stooges, you can look like Mo.
Exactly.
You can look like this Billy Idol. And I can't remember the other look was the where it was just shaved high and tight, like the bald guy, the monk.
Here's what my research shows me, Taryn. Women are allowed to choose one of 14 styles.
Oh, I thought it was five. My bad. Retract.
Married women are instructed to keep their tresses short. Single ladies. Oh, see, they allow the single ladies to get crazy. They're allowed to be loose with longer, curlier locks. Men are prohibited from growing their hair longer than 5 centimeters or less than 2 inches, while older men can get away with up to 7 centimeters or 3 inches.
The Mo. That's the Mo.
Right. Basically. That's the Mo. Now, the actual official list. Now I see where it all kind of comes into play. The actual official list does not include Kim Jong-un's current look. So what they've done is they've created a new list only for college women. They're the only ones who are allowed by law to look like Kim Jong-un with the haircut.
Oh, okay. So it's a privilege to look like him. It's only college kids are allowed to do it?
Yeah.
It's a cool college thing to do?
Yeah. No. Nobody else. Nobody else will be able to do this except for the college kids.
What college is like in North Korea?
Oh, I bet it's horrible.
I can't imagine. I bet they don't do the big parties and the keg parties and the keg stands. And they don't have beer, do they? Like, I don't know if you've seen the documentaries. There used to be some great ones up on Netflix where these guys snuck into North Korea. And then there's the Vice documentaries, too. Mm-hmm. There's this where they go into North Korea undercover. And they go in the last one was with Dennis Rodman and the Harlem Globetrotters. They go in under the guise that they're going to be putting on a special performance because apparently their leader likes basketball.
Oh, is that how Dennis Rodman ended up there in the first place?
Yeah, he's a huge basketball fan and loves Dennis Rodman. So Rodman goes the first time, and with him is an undercover camera crew from Vice. And they're filming as they're going through, and it's completely staged. Like, they're very, very managed where they're going. So the government knows these filmers are there but doesn't realize they're making a documentary. They think it's some sort of special basketball thing, that they're just following Dennis Rodman around. So Dennis Rodman gets to go to these places, and like, they go to a shop, and everything else in the mall is closed but this one shop where they have someone working there. And on the counters, they only have things that are like one deep. So there's one pack of gum. There's like one bag of chips. You know, and they're encouraging them to go shop. You know, they're like, yeah, yeah, wow. See, look, we have stores open in commerce in North Korea, and it's all staged. And, like, they go to a restaurant, and they're, like, the only people in the restaurant. And and they're bringing out these dishes, trying to act like they have all this food, but they don't.
And, like, Kim Jong-un is the only waiter, like, wearing a little waiter outfit and pretending to be somebody else.
And so it just shows you just how freaking poor it is over there, because the government's so out of control. And not like, you know, our government's so much better, because we, you know, our government definitely has created its source of poverty with, you know, over regulations making it impossible to open a business. You know, our government's not much better, but it just shows you kind of the hardcore side of how bad North Korea is. And what's really interesting is I watched a documentary about these deserters in the Korean War. And these guys were, during the Korean War, they were Americans who went there and sought asylum.
Oh.
So there was a couple of them. And what happened was they got upset with America and what was going on, and they jumped ship. And at first they weren't trusted, and they were, you know, washed and everything they did. But after a while, the Korean leader at the time decided to use them for propaganda and gave them like a life in Korea. So they could take a woman, they could do this. And what he did is made them movie stars. As far as North Korea goes, they make all their own media.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. There's no such – like when you go to the movie theater, it is a military propaganda film about how great the leader is. You know, like he's always the hero. Kim Jong-il is always the hero of the movies, or he does something cool in the movie, and he basically produces it. You know, he has his hand in it, where sometimes they'll even write their own storyline. What they did is they used these Americans as always the bad guys. So these five guys that were soldiers that came over are always like the bad American that Kim Jong-il goes and conquers, you know, and they would show up in movie after movie after movie, and they ended up being huge stars over in North Korea that no one's ever heard of here, you know?
Wow.
And so it was really interesting, because they don't have much media because they don't have electricity. But what they do have is every house has a radio, and it's required that they can't turn it off. Like, I don't even think there's an on or off switch or a volume switch. It just blares in the house.
Really?
And so every house has these radios, and whenever he wants to make an announcement – or whatever his speech, he has like a daily speech where he talks about how great he is. You can't turn the damn thing off. And if you try to take it down or whatever, you know, you basically go to prison camp.
It is I, beloved leader, talking to you again in radio.
Right. And so he has his own little news service, which is all propaganda news about how great, you know, the North Koreans are doing and their illustrious stuff. And then they actually have their own TV shows where they're like novellas or something. But they're radio dramas. I mean, they do have TV shows too, but I think that they actually have radio novellas as well.
Wow.
If I remember this documentary. But it was wild, because there's only one channel. You can't turn it off. It's illegal to turn it off. And the state makes whatever they want and plays it all day. So you can imagine how great it is.
And state approved haircuts on top of it all. And what's funny, Taryn, is what people will do, and what those of a non-liberty, state-worshipping sort of mindset will do to those of us who love our freedom and liberty. They'll turn around and say, how dare you criticize America? How dare you criticize this land of milk and honey? How dare you criticize this great light upon the hill, this vestige of freedom? Because look at North Korea. Look at all these other countries overseas. Look at how they treat their people. We're not like that. You say that we're tyranny? We're not tyranny at all. We have lots of freedom in comparison. Well, you know what I say to them? Yeah, in comparison, we do have a lot of freedom. For now, but even a lot of freedom isn't complete freedom, which is what we deserve under the foundation of what made America America in the first place. And if we don't be careful, and if we don't use our due diligence and aren't mindful and aren't watchful of what our filthy, slime-ridden leadership at the top are doing, we soon will become just like them. It's not that far of a slippery slope to think that someday we may have state-approved haircuts. Look at what's happening to children in our school system right now. They're told if they have a particular haircut, it's distracting and they get kicked out.
And that's true. I mean, think of, well, how many schools have moved to school uniforms?
Yes.
Talk about conformity. Okay, we're going to make your kid wear this. Oh, and by the way, here's our approved haircuts. Your kid cannot dye their hair. Your kid cannot have anything individual. So we already have it in a different form.
We do. There was that little girl recently who shaved her head to show comradeship with her friend who was suffering cancer and was undergoing chemo. They booted her out. So yeah, the tyranny's already here. We just disguise it a little bit better. That's all we do. We paint it a different color and say it's a pretty sort of tyranny.
Yeah, to me, it's like choosing which kind of cancer you get.
Exactly. We'll continue this chat coming up next on your Liberty Cats.
In a world where freedom is fun and everything you thought you knew is wrong, two unlikely voices rose up from the noise. From the minds that brought you Fajita Fun Time and Wheels Off Liberty comes the Liberty Cats. Darren P. Lupo and Brian Hagen are just in time to save us all.
Well, how you doing? It's so good to be here giving you salvation on this Thursday evening on the old Daily Paul Radio. We're the Liberty Cats. I'm Brian Hagen along with
Taryn P. Lupo.
And I got to ask you, Taryn, one thing that we haven't really talked about for these past couple of days now is our cats. I mean, Tuesday's show, we talked about strip clubs. Yesterday's show, we talked about child pedophiles, and on today's show, we've talked about everything but cats. So I guess, how's your cat doing, or has your cat been doing anything?
Well, the one cat has been coming and making biscuits. Do you know what that is?
No, I do not.
It's a southern way to describe snurgling. Snurgling is the actual real cat word. But it's where they push a paw into you and then push another paw into you and push a paw and push a paw.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like when they massage you. It's called making biscuits.
Oh yeah, because it's like they're kneading dough.
Yeah, it looks like they're kneading dough. And I guess that's a southern term because it's the only place I've heard it's in Savannah where, your kitty's making biscuits. But, yeah, it's really cute, but their claws come out when they do it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's one of those things where you play through the pain. You scratch him, but it's so cute you let him just pierce you.
That's how I used to do. I had a cat. She loved to bite me because she was happy, and she'd bite down pretty hard, too. And I didn't care because it made her happy to bite me. So that's how I am with my women, too. My cat, wow. Oh, just this past weekend, I took my mom, and my cat lives at my mom's, as I've told before on this show. I took my mom out of town to go shopping and to have dinner at Arby's where I had diarrhea. Anyway.
That's an ad right there. Do you know anyone from Arby's?
Yeah, exactly.
We would love to sponsor your show.
Yeah, try the new
sponsor on our show.
Try the new Reuben sandwich at Arby's. Within 20 minutes, you'll have diarrhea. But boy, that sandwich was really good. I enjoyed the marbled bread, but man.
You're torn because it is so good.
I would eat it again. I just want to make sure that there is there's a poop spot a little bit closer next time. Anyway, we were leaving for the day, and this cat is just so incredibly sensitive. The minute my mom's retired, so she spends like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with this cat. We're leaving, and just the expression on his face is an expression of an abandoned child. This cat looked like she was going to leave him forever. And as we drive away, he ran down to where I had been parked, and he stood there, and then he looked up the hill and watched us until he couldn't watch us any further. And then when we returned home, he was like an excited child, came running down, jumped in my vehicle, was so happy to see my mom. It was really adorable, and it was proof positive once again that animals do have feelings, animals do have emotions, and animals do have thoughts.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that people think animals don't have souls. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you kidding? And it's interesting because even animals, and this is kind of where I'm torn because I've been trying to stop eating animals. I've been slowly moving towards a vegetarian direction because my conscience is bugging me.
Right.
But you know, even like chickens have their own cool personalities and they do their own things. And if you've ever had a relationship with like a barnyard chicken, you can tell they each kind of do their own thing. And I mean, they're not the smartest birds, but they definitely have souls. They're in there doing their own thing.
Well, but I think it's cruel to keep that rooster in with them because he's raping them all the time. There's nothing rapier than a rooster. I have watched out at my friend's dad's farm. I remember I was out there, and these chickens are doing chicken things. I'm like, oh, they're so cute, doing little chicken things. Here comes this rooster, and he's like, cock-a-doodle-doo, biatch. And he just, like, jumps on top of this chicken and is doing his thing. And this poor chicken looked like she wanted no part of it. He gets done with her. He's on another chicken. And I'm like, this is the rapiest rooster I've ever seen. And to me, it was just disgusting and deplorable and appalling. And I think that we're really encouraging rape culture by allowing roosters to stay with chickens.
Well, I don't know if you even want to take it a step further, but have you ever seen ducks mate?
No.
Ducks, if you type in duck rape, you'll see videos on YouTube where they gang rape. They'll be like 20 ducks on some poor female, and it's horrible to watch. So I don't even know what to say about that because it kind of takes me back. Like, this society's so prude about teaching children about sex, but – you know, 50 years ago, when most people lived on farms, or we even go back further, they learned about sex very, very young because the animals are all screwing in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I think that has been taken out of our culture, and they've never even seen sex until they find the internet.
Right, but I think some of these kids were also, like, emulating what the rooster was doing, if you know what I'm saying.
I know you're joking, sort of, but I hope that's not serious. Like,
No, I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
They're like, oh, well, that's how it's done in nature. I'm going to go around and
push
myself on women.
Well, no, he actually used the chickens.
You really went there?
Yeah, it's a true story. It's a true story.
Wait, you know someone that has tried to have sex with chickens?
Yes. He I got this secondhand, okay, but I know the guy in question. And we had a mutual friend, and my mutual friend said he went out to the guy's farm one time, and they were very young, like 12 or something. And he's like, hey, you want to go over and watch the rooster with the chickens? And he's like, okay. So they did. And he's like, do you want to try it? I do that sometimes. And my other friend was like, no, thank you. In fact, he called his parents and went home. I knew another guy that taught his dog to do weird things. It's awful. And I don't know if this barnyard learning is a good thing or not, because sometimes, and if you ever read that book, Beloved by Toni Morrison, which won all these awards, everybody was doing things with cows. It's just downright sick, Taryn Lupo. Downright sick, I tell you.
Well, Johnson Rice, who's I guess a co-host on Free Talk Live, sent me a clip of donkey sex. And I was like, what? He was talking about, I thought it was actually a clip of people having sex with a donkey, but no. It was a documentary about how they go to this, I think it was some South American country, where it's the rite of passage. Like, all these kids, that's their first sexual experiences with donkeys in the town. They practice on donkeys before they go to a woman, and it's like completely normal.
Really?
It's in their culture that, you know, it's okay to have a test run, and as long as you leave the women alone. And I guess it works for them because they're practicing on these horny teenagers go out, and it's seriously like a rite of passage where they're like, you're 12 and you haven't had sex with a donkey. You need to go do it.
Good Lord, man. I think this is a violation of the NAP all the way across the board.
Yes. And for our listeners, what is the NAP, Brian?
It is the non-aggression principle.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, unless the donkey consented to it somehow, and I don't know how that would go down. How does a donkey consent?
Donkeys aren't consenting, that's for sure.
No, I don't think so either.
But apparently chickens are, so there you go.
I guess if you had a bar, like maybe, I don't know, enough peanut butter or something, they would consent to something.
Hey, I'm going to go down there and get that donkey drunk because I'm feeling lonely tonight.
Oh, Brian, where are we even going with this? Okay, how about we change the topic and talk about your TV pick of the week?
My TV pick of the week, Taran P. Lupo, is easy. It's TV's Justified, which airs every Tuesday night. And Justified is not it's unlike any other show I've ever seen. It's not like anything else that has ever come before. Breaking Bad, I think, was the greatest TV drama of all time. Justified's right up there, and I think it's a darn sin that more people haven't found Justified, starring Timothy Oliphant as U.S. Marshal Raylan Givens. You also have the brilliant character of Boyd Crowder. And this show is just so good. It's probably one of the greatest tales of moral ambiguity that I've ever seen on television. And along with that, it's gritty and also funny at the exact same time. A lot of humor.
Does it have any sort of liberty themes in it?
You know, sometimes there are liberty themes in the show. And I think a lot of that comes through the moral ambiguity. What is the right thing to do? What is the wrong thing to do? Where does that responsibility towards, you know, society play within the individual, and how far should, you know, law enforcement go with stopping the infringement onto someone else's rights? I think there's a lot to be read into it. I mean, it might not be real obvious, but you can certainly find it there if you watch it as often as I do.
Now, Timothy Oliphant, for you guys that don't know, he was the sheriff in Deadwood. And he was played a super pissed off character who was angry all the time. Is he also angry in this show?
He's not so much angry as he is just willing to shoot anybody.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, if he thinks they have to be shot, he'll shoot them. But TV's Justified, my pick. We'll continue this topic coming up next on the Liberty Cats. We got a lot more to tackle in the world of liberty and in television, and probably more television than liberty. So hang on. We got more to come. We're having a good time.
Hi, this is Taran Lupo from Liberty Cats. I've been buying gold and silver for over 20 years. I've made some good buys and I've made some poor buys. Most of the time, the prices and markups were too high from the companies I found. Other times, I was tricked into buying fake gold and silver. There's a large learning curve to becoming a good buyer when you're trying to figure it out all on your own. The good news is I finally found someone I trust, who is affordable and private. For the last few years, I've only purchased my precious metals from Roberts & Roberts. They make it easy, fast, and discreet. Everything I've ever purchased has been excellent quality at an excellent price. I publicly vouch for the folks at Roberts & Roberts that they'll give you a square deal. Right now, prices on silver are ridiculously low, and it's a great time to buy. Check out Roberts & Roberts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grand Wizards of Funk, the Liberty Cats. These hip caps know how to drop such a furry and funk-tastic rhythm you'll be silent all night long. You jive hustlers, go get your boots on, flip your grip, and be swelling it to each other. Now, here's the bucket from Nantucket, Brian Hagen, and Lothario from Ontario, Taran P. Lupo.
And it truly is the grooviest and most brilliant show on the airwaves, and not just on Daily Paul. I'm telling you what. I think we're better than Glenn Beck, we're better than Alex Jones, we're better than Charles Krauthammer, we're definitely better than Megyn Kelly. In fact, I'm even hotter than Megyn Kelly. We're just the best thing happening anywhere. I mean, I don't think anybody explores as many topics as in-depth and with such journalistic pride and integrity and ethics as we do, Taran Lupo.
Brian, if our listeners love our show or just want to get drunk and leave you a message, How would they do that?
You know, it's really easy to do. I'm going to go ahead and throw out my own personal phone number here. It's 913-674-9439. 913, and see, you can verify that because I grew up in the 913 and I still reside in the 913. 913-674-9439. Now, I guarantee you I probably won't answer the call if I don't know what the number is, but definitely leave me a voicemail. And if we like what you have to say, and especially if you're a hot, buxom college girl in a sorority, we'll definitely play it back and make sure that that return phone number is on my phone, because I have drunken texts to send you, honey.
That's right. All kinds of pictures.
Exactly.
We're ready.
Yeah, we're set for this. When, if you're lucky, ladies, we'll even share your number on the air. We'll find you a date.
That's true. And speaking of winning a date, we are still hosting our competition where Brian accidentally bought the wrong tickets to a concert on a date.
Yes.
And so now he has new tickets. Brian, explain, what are you willing to offer to a lovely lady?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm willing to offer to a lovely lady, Taryn Lupo, and this is coming up sometime later this month. I'll have to actually check the tickets later this month or early May, somewhere in there. What I'm willing to offer is I'm willing to offer to allow her to buy me dinner. I'm willing to offer to allow her to buy me drinks for the entire night. And I'm willing to offer to allow her to stay over in my filthy, very dusty apartment overnight. So this is the offer that I'm making. Ladies, why wouldn't you want to enter this contest? You'll be going to a great Irish music show with me, Brian Hagen.
And good chances, lady, you will be driving in the designated driver. Oh, such a wonderful night.
Yeah, you're right. Of course, she has to be the designated driver. She's not allowed to have any of the alcohol she purchases. That's all for me. If for even a minute she has a drink in front of her, I'll drink it to make sure that she doesn't endanger my life, her life, or the lives of others on the roadways.
That's a lovely thing for you to do. Take that drink.
It's very altruistic of me.
It's all about helping you, ladies.
That's exactly it. I just want to keep you safe, and I want to keep our roadways safe. That's what I do.
So go ahead and call our number and plead your case for that free ticket and wonderful romantic night with Brian Hagen.
You know, again, that phone number is 913-674-9439, and I want to make sure this is posted over on our Facebook page too, Taryn. 913-674-9439. That's my number. Plead your case. Say why you should buy everything for me that night and remain the designated driver, and I'll take you to an Irish music show. Just don't expect any eye contact.
Don't act like you're with him at all. Right?
That's asking way too much.
I like
to be called sir.
Yes. And how should this lady dress to pick you up?
Short skirt, preferably with boots, fishnet stockings, and a belly shirt that says juicy across the front.
And what about piercings or tattoos? Are they good or bad?
Excellent. And if
really?
She
you
if,
like that stuff?
I love that stuff. If she's all pierced up and if she has tats all over and if her hair is dyed multicolors.
Really? And if you like that girls that wear the tackle box on their face?
Uh-huh. And if she's wearing black thick eyeliner, she even has more of a chance of going with me.
Because those are the first girls I picture when I think, Irish Music Festival. That's it. Be gothy, tattooed up.
Well, that's exactly what I want to do, Taryn. It is my goal to shatter stereotypes like that. It is my goal to kick down the door of exclusionary practices and to include everyone, especially under the branch umbrella of the greatness of God's given gift of music.
Mm. Wow. That is one heck of an offer, ladies. Don't you forget.
That phone number again. All you have to do is give a call, plead your case, 913-674-9439, 913-674-9439.
You're really dropping that again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where were we? Where were we talking about television shows or
that's
something?
That's exactly
something
right.
Nice.
This is the Liberty Cats on the air for this Thursday edition of the greatest Liberty-themed show anywhere. So glad to have you here on Daily Paul Radio. Quick shout out. After we're done, Allison Bricker will be in, and she brings a dynamite show to the air, too. Not as good as us, but it's still okay.
She's trying.
Yeah.
She's getting there. We have to give her tips constantly. Like, she's always calling us, being like, how's my show?
Yeah.
And Brian gives her notes.
Right. And I like, do all the design work and the computer stuff and, you know, all the technical side of everything. That's all me. That's
and he
all
pretty much
Brian
runs a network, if you didn't know that. Brian has a very, very fancy computer.
Mm-hmm. Extremely. It is not a Compaq from Walmart.
It's a 386. Right. Still jamming.
It is. It's a Tandy.
Oh, that's a good. I've got a story about Tandys.
Really?
Yeah, actually, my dad is a patent attorney, and it was his very first big case where you're talking real, real money. There was a Japanese company that was making computers that were just like Tandy knockoffs, and he represented Tandy to sue these Japanese people. And now, I was really young when this happened. You're talking early 80s, and we were the only people I knew that had a computer like 5 years before anyone else, because they gave him one so he could understand what he was going to argue the case about. So we had this – it was probably like a $20,000 computer in the house. And, you know, all you could really do on it, it was a word processor pretty much and a calculator at that time. And they did make some very, very low graphic games that you could try to play. But
did you have Oregon Trail?
They did. And they had Zork. You remember those things?
I do.
Like the, for you guys that really didn't know, when video games started, they didn't have graphics. They were text video games. Mm-hmm. So you'd be like, you know, walk left, pick up sword, swing sword. Swing sword,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and it was a text. And there's a big movement of people that really like those games that still play them. They make text based games still that you can buy. I had no idea it was so retro cool. You know,
I didn't either. I said I didn't either. I didn't know you could still play those games.
Yeah, they're out there, and you know, I have to say, when we grew up, I was much, much smarter as a kid because most everything you had to do was imagination-based. I played a ton of Dungeons & Dragons when I was a kid, and all that stuff's up in your head. And you draw maps, and you do math. Like, you roll the dice, and you have to add, you know, armor class bonuses and magic pluses and minuses. And so you're learning all this math as a kid, really young, and mapping skills and graphing and all this stuff. And then – later on in life, man, now with I play Dungeons & Dragons on the computer and it does everything for you. And then I some of my friends tried to bust out the original version and play it, and I found it – I couldn't even do it. Like, my math skills had gotten so bad, we couldn't even figure out how to get our character alive. So I don't know if you ever played any nerdy games.
I did, yeah. I played Dungeons & Dragons. There was a guy who hosted a Dungeons & Dragons competition every day after school during my high school days. And I would go over there and hang out and play a little D&D. I wasn't real good at it because of the math side, like you're saying. So he would have to, as Dungeon Master, guide me through it. But I did enjoy it when I played it.
Now, we'd have to explain, again, because half our listeners are underage girls.
Right.
We have to explain to you what
the
this
way I like
game
it.
Is like. I mean, you basically had a bunch of kids who couldn't drive or go anywhere. A guy that deemed himself the Dungeon Master who would tell a story as you played.
Uh-huh.
And he'd be – a good example would be like, okay, you see a locked gate. What do you do, Brian? And then Brian has to figure out something to do.
Right, and then you roll, right. And then you like
I cast – magic key. I try to bust it down with this. I use my strength to pull it open, and you try all these things to get the damn door open, right?
Yeah, and then suddenly one of them will work, and now you're in a whole different area, and the Dungeon Master – lays that area out. Now you're back to rolling this. What is it? An 8-sided die?
There's a bunch of them. There's a 20-sided, an 8. Also, a very good lesson in geometry. You learned what a dodecahedron was, and you know. So you had all these different kind of cool looking dice, and you'd roll them for different chances. And the whole game was basically dice based game. But what I'm trying to tell you is, you had to be pretty smart to play Dungeons & Dragons, man.
Well, that's why it was considered a nerd game. I mean, let's face it. That was considered a nerdy game.
And I don't think there's many – now everything's kind of like Call of Duty, man. You know, 12-year-old boys only want to play first-person shooters.
That's exactly it. And I think it's a reason why we've lost a lot of our creativity in this country these days, Taryn. I want to go back for a moment, though. The last I knew, your dad was fighting this. He was fighting the Japanese like some sort of a Godzilla of copyright infringement. What happened with that case?
Well, the amount of money was staggering back then. Like, these were huge cases. And he won that case for Tandy, which is really quite funny because, you know, as a libertarian later on, it was one of the last things I changed my stance on was IP law, that I write books and I put everything out copyright free now because I kind of have a moral problem with copyright. But my dad's completely the other side. I mean, he's made a living doing copyright and enforcing that law. So our dinners can be pretty interesting.
I would imagine that can get a little heated and a little ugly sometime. And, you know, I don't know exactly where I stand on that issue. I understand both sides of it. I certainly understand why you would make that choice. Let me throw this out to you real quick, Taryn. I have a friend. She's an artist. And a corporation, I don't remember if it's a restaurant or a bar or something, they stole one of her artworks and are now using it as their logo. Didn't contact her, didn't have anything to say to her. What advice would you give her if you can't copyright it and use the law? What would she do?
Well, the way I handle that is if someone were to take one of my books and just stick their name on it and put it out, I couldn't really turn to the government to fix my problems. They're not going to do anything. I don't know if you've ever gone the legal route, but it costs enormous amounts of money, and you're talking about chasing down dollars.
Yeah.
What I do instead is I bring my fans in. I tell my fans where this book is, and I ask them to destroy it on Amazon. So they'll leave nasty reviews saying, this is not the real book. Don't buy this. This is where you buy it. And so what you do is you use the free market to destroy the credibility. I have no problem with your friend going – and destroying that other person that stole the logo because you're not using the government's force. You're just using reputation.
I see.
So you can still kind of call someone out on it. It just doesn't have to be a legal law. And she, by doing that, will cause so much money to be lost and damaged to that company that they'll feel it.
Yeah, but couldn't they then turn around and like sue her for those sort of damages?
Possibly if they could say it was their copyright, they could try to go that route. But again, no lawyer's going to touch it when she is making, you know, she's an artist probably broke. You know, most artists are broke. What are they going to sue her for? It's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to go after her probably when it's said and done over a logo, you know. So a lot of that's just – it's not practical. You don't have to really worry about getting sued. I know it's only false and it's only slander if it's false. And if these people took your logo and you can prove it, then you can call them out on it.
You know, Taryn Lupo, I love it because here on the Liberty Cats, let's see, in past episodes, we've discussed matters of health. You're an expert on that. Now we're discussing the legal ramifications of copyright. You're a master on that. It just amazes me. and I got to tell you, I'm very lucky to be sitting here with all of my great talents and all of my great skills and my brilliance to then be partnered up with someone of all your great skills and your great talents. And that's what really makes the Liberty Cat such a brilliant show, don't you think?
You only say that because I send you things.
You do send me things.
I pay things. That's right.
It's like you're my sugar.
I have to get the
you're my sugar
send
daddy.
Brian something at least once a month to get him to talk like that about me.
You're my sugar daddy. And I'm what do the women call themselves now? Sugar babies, I think it is.
I don't know, but I want to learn all about that.
Oh.
We need to have someone on the show that's a sugar receiver.
That's a great idea, my friend, because we have had an official cuddler on the show. We need to have one of these sugar babies on. And what they are, and there's been a lot of articles that have been popping up in the mainstream recently about them. A lot of them are just college-age girls that aren't looking for a relationship who find some older guy who happens to have some money, and he's not really looking for a relationship either, but he's looking for some attention. So he'll send them money. They give him attention in return. They're saving that money up to pay for their college education, and it seems like a real win-win for everybody. But unfortunately, what do you think is happening with this? The state is starting to try to get involved and say it's prostitution.
Even though there's no sex involved at all, it's just communication.
Exactly. But because there is the possibility that maybe someone's thinking about sex when this happens, it could possibly be actual prostitution, and therefore they want to put laws in effect against being a sugar daddy and a sugar baby. Again, absolutely ridiculous, way too overreaching, overarching, like the government does best.
That's crazy. I've never even heard of that, but I could see how that happens. I mean, there's a need. If obviously we had that professional cuddler on Emmy, and I would have never thought someone could make money doing that, but you know, apparently you can. It's everywhere.
Well, yeah.
So I could see that. You know, actually, now that I think about it, I think there's a whole culture around that in Japan. There's the kabuki girls who do not really have sex with you. All they do is sit there and stroke your ego and talk to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You sit there, you have tea with them, you spend a bunch of money on them, and you basically pay for their time to sit there and stroke your ego.
Yeah, but that's the only thing that's getting stroked. I mean,
yeah, apparently, in your wallet.
Yeah, nothing else is getting touched, and everybody seems happy with that. And why not? I mean, think about it. You enter into a real relationship, now all of a sudden, you're living together in the same house. Now all of a sudden, you're having to, like, put up with her bad cooking. You're having to put up with her family. So why not go this route? It, to me, it seems a lot more stress-free. It seems a lot easier. Everybody's getting what they want in the end. So why mess with a good thing? I like it. One of these days, we'll have an actual sugar daddy and sugar baby on the show. We are the Liberty Cats. So good to have you here on this Thursday edition. We're going to come right back, wrap things up. I can't believe where this week is gone. Hang out with us. Get on the old scratching post. It's a good time. Meow.
Buffy, darling, put down your crumpets and listen to these clever chaps. They made me chuckle so hard my monocle fell off. It would be a capital idea if you tuned in to the Liberty Cats every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 6 p.m. on Daily Paul Radio. They're our kind of people, darling. Now, excuse me, darling, I have to go roll around in all my money naked.
And that really is the key word, naked. It's the naked truth, and we're literally naked each and every time we do this show. My name is Brian Hagan, along with
Taryn P. Lupo.
And this is the Thursday edition of the Liberty Cats on Daily Paul Radio. So good to have you here again, dear friends. We're about ready to put the wraps on things. And what we do at the end of every show is we put together a few show notes. And on this April 3rd episode of the Liberty Cats, Brian and Taryn discuss what's hot on TV, stroke each other's egos, clarified copyright law, and seek out sugar babies. And then these show notes go up on the official page on the Daily Paul Radio page next to the show. And Taryn, what I think is great is, you know, you read our show notes. Let's go back to like yesterday. Brian and Taryn email the seller of a haunted dresser, talk child pervs, Vanna White, and how no other show is quite this brilliant. And then you put that side by side with the other shows on this network, like say Dr. Tom Woods discusses the value of Austrian economics in regards to the Catholic Church.
What are we doing on this network? They're going to so throw us off eventually.
One of these days, my friend.
One of these days, someone's going to listen to this show finally and figure it out.
Basically, what we're doing is we're like a couple of squatters. It's like we're living in the basement and no one even knows we're here.
That's totally it. It's like you guys walked out and left the microphone open.
Yeah.
And we're the janitors.
We just
came on in. Did what we wanted, left.
Started talking all the time about hookers, strippers, all the things that make the world go round. You know, the key elements of liberty. You know, I don't care what you say. You can get down to the nitty-gritty, but the key elements of liberty are this. Drugs, guns, and hookers. That's it. That's what makes liberty what it is, Taryn.
And that's, I know you say that in jest, but really, you're kind of accurate. Is if you can have those things in your life, you're really free.
Exactly.
And if you can't, you're not really free.
Yeah, ask yourself, what does your society allow? Does it allow drugs, guns, and hookers? If not, you're not living in a free society. Take that, America. Take that, big American America. Flag. Take that Pledge of Allegiance written by a socialist, a Nazi, mind you.
Allison Bricker. Next.
Yeah. Allison Bricker's coming up. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll talk to you then. We are your Liberty Cats. We're the ones that are restoring freedom. We're the ones that are restoring this republic.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times, WGRR Digital.